a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Thursday, 29 September 2016. And we only get to say 29 September every 4 years. And if I'm like anybody else out there, in order to remember when leap year is, oh, it's the POTUS shot at the White House every 4 years. And the only way I can still spell Mississippi is do the school yard rhyme. M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I. Why didn't I ever come up with one for Pennsylvania? At any rate, there's a program on Republic Broadcasting that airs 11 p.m. Central Time. And the gentleman that purchased that time for the network, we're in kind of a waiting period here to have Judge Roy Moore featured in that hour. And, of course, this would be, that would be, what, 11 p.m. Central, that'd be 12 p.m. Eastern time. And I think that's a little late for the judge, and I think the interviews will be pre-recorded. But I say that because Judge Roy Moore, and television will not cover this story, and it's a big story. Judge Roy Moore is a good judge. He's conscientious. He's a Christian. He knows the Constitution, and none of that applies to today's media. Let's not excite the huddled masses out there. Let's just give them circus and bread and an occasional tweet from Donald Trump. Judge Roy Moore faces charges for defending Alabama against the LGBT lobby. Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore was suspended for upholding the law of God, the laws of Alabama, and the Constitution of Alabama against redefining of marriage to include, here's a hateful term, sodomites. Now he's facing charges over his urging of probate judges not to issue marriage license to same-sex couples. And here's a little blip from the LA Times. For the second time in 13 years, Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore, the contentious Deep South jurist who urged probate judges across the state not to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples, stands trial on charges of violating the canons of judicial ethics. Actually, that trial started yesterday. If found guilty, he could be ousted from the bench for a second time. Moore faces six charges stemming from a controversial order he sent Alabama probate judges in January, instructing them that they had a ministerial duty not to issue any marriage licenses to same-sex couples, despite the U.S. Supreme Court ruling legalize such unions. And we all know the Supreme Court, that's why they call it the Supreme, Mac Daddy, top of the heap. You know, cream rises to the top of the jug. They could not be wrong, could they? Well, let me see. Did they get the Obamacare ruling right? Oh, that's right. Yeah, they did, because they said, well, let's figure out a way. Oh, that's right. Congress has the right to lay and collect taxes. So Obamacare is a tax. Wait a minute. What? Yeah, I know. And that's one of the supposed conservative ones. He responded by saying, I would never tell them what to do except to advise them. Now, he said this in court testimony. His right hand up to God, and he's probably the only one in a courtroom that meant it. In that administrative order, right off the bat, thank you, Judge, in that administrative order, I'm not telling them to do anything. It would be against the principles that I hold dear to tell anybody to defy a court order. That is their decision. When Prosecutor John Carroll told Judge Moore that Alabama's Attorney General acknowledged that same-sex marriage is the law of the land, Moore responded, what is the law of the land? What is the supreme law of the land? Obviously, Moore was appealing to the U.S. Constitution, or maybe even a higher power, I would think, which does not give authority to the D.C. government to define marriage, but under the 10th Amendment reserves that right to the state and the people. Well, okay. Let me see. If it's not in the United States Constitution, it must be found in the state's Constitution, but it's not in the state's Constitution. But well, let's not break that down. That would cause argument and dissension, and we must not upset the huddled masses out there. They've been huddled and assaulted enough. Of course, constitutionally, a literate prosecutor, Ashby Pate, wanted to pull from historical and literary context and declare, in a game of constitutional chicken between state and federal courts, the supremacy clause of the Constitution tells us who must yield. Oh, the supremacy clause. As in United States, and you're the citizens in the respective territories or the 10 regions which we claim we have dominion over, and sit down and shut up, we're in charge. Even worse, Richard Cohen, and I've talked to this character before, he's one stellar lawyer, I can tell you. Even worse, Richard Cohen, president of the Southern Poverty Law Center, said, Roy Moore doesn't know the difference between being a judge and being a preacher. He thinks his religious beliefs should trump his obligations under the law, and that's a dangerous thing. Let me stop and digress from the story for a second, because I had occasion to talk to Mr. Cohen, and after reading some of the tripe that Southern Poverty Law puts out, and folks, they are almost at cabinet status. They are advisors to the United States government on the issues of hate-watching the rest of us out here. Here's flaming liberals that anything that they do or say, they think is okay. And that falls under their rights category. They're the ones that have been teaching tolerance. And yes, I will mention it again. Morris Dees, which I lovingly refer to Morris Sleaze, asked his wife why she divorced him. Wanting to have sex with another man in the Washington Hotel in Washington, D.C., he wanted to do that for an anniversary present. Isn't that great? Gee, don't you wish you had a husband and wife like that? Boy. But what really upset Maureen as well was the 15-year-old stepdaughter that he molested. And she didn't like that. That's a matter of court record. Morris Sleaze dare not sue me over that one because it's a matter of court and public record. And Mr. Cohen, I called Southern Poverty Law. It was late 2014, I think it might have been a couple years ago. And I got real tired of having my name mentioned and put in some kind of radical needs to be decapitated category. And I called them. I said, well, they misunderstood the intention of my call. When I called, I said, who's lead counsel down there? At the time, I didn't even know it was Mr. Cohen. And they said, well, we have several lawyers that work for Southern Poverty Law. And I said, no, who's the lead guy? Who's the guy that everybody else runs to with their briefcase and their briefs in hand when they have a problem? Oh, well, you must mean Mr. Cohen. I said, what's his first name? Richard. I said, fine, I'll speak to him. Well, if you've got a case, you know, we review the cases and then they're recommended. I said, no, you're misunderstanding the intent of the call. I want to find out who lead counsel is, so when we initiate a lawsuit against Southern Poverty Law, I'll know who to direct the paperwork to. Well, I actually spoke to Cohen. He says, what's this about a suit? Can I help you? And I said, well, you can help yourselves. I said, go find another illegitimate job. Go chase an ambulance. Go do some skullduggery. Go work for a politician. Whatever you want to do. Go work for a corporation. He didn't think any of this was amusing. And I said, well, I don't think what you're writing, and you think that you know people and you have this tendency to just group everybody together and categorize them, and, well, these are hateful people. Folks, I try not to hate. I really do, because I understand that's a true vexation of the spirit. And if you want to keep your spirituality balanced, you got to leave the hate out. There's a lot of things I don't like. There's a lot of things I hate to do, and I use that tongue-in-cheek. But I try not to hate. As weird as things are getting out there, I find myself looking at these people more with pity than I do anything else. How can souls be so wayward? Well, leave it up to the human imagination without restraint, and you have your answer. Now, continuing with the story, as if the Southern Poverty Law Center is unbiased and has a clue as to what the law actually is, actually, Mr. Cohen would do well to understand the 10th Amendment, as well as the enumerated powers of the federal courts and the Congress, and stop making a damn fool of himself and his statements. If we sit back and let the federal courts intrude their powers into state sovereignty, then we're neglecting everything about which the Constitution stands. And that was Mr. Moore's statement. State sovereignty? He's a sovereign? My God, somebody call the FBI. Here's another one of these guys. And he happens to be a judge. Oh, the horror of it all. The problem is, in all of this, is the fact that the Supreme Court does not make law. The Constitution is clear that all legislative authority is in the hands of Congress, not the Supreme Court. Thus, Judge Moore is only appealing to the law of the land, which acknowledges that Alabama's constitution is the law of the state of Alabama. The only problem is the communists and liberals are ignoring the law and usurping the authority that is not theirs to impose a new definition of marriage upon the people of Alabama and the United States. Now, isn't it funny, folks, that we go, what, 250 years? And we understood what marriage was? We learned about divorce as well? But that stood in this country for so long, and then all of a sudden, it just ain't right. That's got to be changed. Because the gay and the lesbian and the bisexuals and, Mike, who else is thrown in this thing? Transgender and what else? You're from Austin. You should know all of that stuff. You got some really weird people down around Austin. I see them on a regular basis when I get down there. Yeah, do you remember the one guy? I guess he died. He used to walk around with a G-string. I'm sorry, what was his name? Leslie Cochran. He was a lawyer, for God's sakes? Oh, my gosh. Why does that not surprise me? that's why I've always referred to Austin as Austin, you know, kind of on the take there, little Moscow on the Colorado. Seriously, he was a lawyer? God, he was so gay. What? I'm sorry, what? He's just a freak. How the hell do you know? The guy used to walk around in heels and pantyhose with a G-string on. And he used to love to show up for the Republic of Texas rally. I think it's the second or third biggest motorcycle rally in the United States. Well, let's just find out who's calling me here. I always keep that with me for emergency purposes. And I always forget to shut the ringer off. At any rate. Yeah, this guy used to walk around the streets of Austin. And the guy was so comical that even the bikers didn't beat him up. So, you see, Southern Poverty Law, we really are tolerant. Gosh. Oh, man. Let's see what else is going on here. Oh. This was big. I had this thought when I first heard about JASTA. U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter made a stunning admission to Congress this week, suggesting that the 9/11 victims bill could open the floodgates in exposing the U.S. government in its role for orchestrating September 11th attacks. Carter wrote a detailed letter to Congress urging them to cease and desist from overturning Obama's veto of the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act, JASTA, which had previously passed unanimously in both House and the Senate. Carter's admonition here suggested that senior U.S. military and government staff could be implicated in future lawsuits from 9/11 victims. And I don't think Carter was in reference. I think he's more in reference to our own government and lying to us about September 11th, but it's not the point of this article. Carter's opposition to JASTA took a different tact. And this is what I thought initially when I heard this. Arguing that the lawsuit against the Saudi Arabia over 9/11 would lead to an intrusive discovery process. Uh-oh. Finding out where the lies were told and the bodies are buried. And ultimately lead to public discourse of American secrets potentially damaging the terror war. No. Let's reword this. This could be potentially damaging to the people that are acting like terrorists and exposing what actually happened on 9/11. And we can't do anything against that. I mean, my God. Now that's sacrosanct there. You can't mess with that one. That's your absolute ultimate taboo. Don't go near that one. Now, while this is in keeping with the administration's obsession to keep a myriad of secrets, after all, the 28-page disclosure of the Saudi involvement in 9/11 only became public in a heavily redacted form after a protracted effort. It also seems to amount to an admission that America has more secrets that could be relevant in the case against the Saudis, and I would argue probably against the United States government. Exactly what that would be or even where it would come from is unclear, as while there were considerable redactions on the 28 pages, none of them gave the appearance of providing any U.S. ties to any of the pre-9/11 shenanigans. This is also what I thought when I initially heard about this, is, okay, so let me see. If there's lawsuits that are going to go against Saudi Arabia and the hijackers are named in the lawsuit, well, they're all dead, right? They can't show up in court. The problem is, the people that were named are still alive, very much alive. You see how this might be a little embarrassing to the United States government and its propaganda mill? After all, what was the justification for rolling into the Middle East, taking all your rights away under continued threat of terrorism in this country? We're Uncle Sammy, and we're just here to help. Yeah. And just call me Jihadi John. Let's take the break and we'll be back.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Pat in Fort Worth, Texas. Hello, Pat.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I wanted to, you were talking about judges a while ago, and something just stays on my mind all the time. If Hillary gets in, and you know what? There's enough Mexicans out here that don't know the difference, you know? Like, there's going to be at least 1.5 million vote for her. So, because they're told to do it. They're just told to do it. But when GW was in, he fired 5 federal judges, and people went crazy. But when Clinton was in, he replaced every one of the ones that were put in under Republicans. Remember?
And nary a whisper was spoken because of the communist news networks we have in this country wouldn't dare mention it, not to bring attention to it, not to upset the huddled masses.
Well, we got our underground information right.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's
and
why
one of those judges, he fired, I think she had only had 4 cases in 5 years, please, you know?
Yeah.
Some of them handle hundreds. So that worries me almost as much as the Supreme Court. Not really. Supreme Court, oh, my God.
Well, and you're mentioning Hillary. if Hillary Clinton gets in, where did Rivera say he wanted to move? Canada. What city? Toronto or Vancouver? That's not a city. That's a
don't want to go up there, the homosexuals, and see you for $30,000 for saying what's in the Bible about them.
No, they don't understand. I can claim I have Tourette's. Faggot! Oh, oh, see, I don't mean to do that. It just pops out. Poofta! See? Pat, I don't know what to do. I can't help myself. Can't sue somebody like that, can you?
Well, if you're not brave, can you? I don't want to get into stories of if people had been more brave. But I'm thinking about Mexico. If nobody wants to live there, I mean, Spanish is pretty easy. It's a Roman language, you know. Pretty easy to learn.
Well, unfortunately, Canada is in the latter days of the Roman Empire, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. But Mexico's, they're fresh right now. Somebody needs to tell them when the Planned Parenthood got worried that we're going to outlaw abortion at Supreme Court level. They started going down to Mexico, talking them into legalizing it. They did. And the judgment hit them bad. And then they legalized something on homosexual. They forgot the judgment hit them bad. Well, when it hits them, it hits us because our food comes from down there.
Yeah,
a lot of it.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Pat, okay. appreciate the call. Thanks, dear.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's my defense, Judge. I have Tourette's. I have absolutely no control over this. You know, call me crazy, but in today's world, I think that defense would work. what would they do to me? You know, require me to muzzle like a rabid dog or something? I don't know. Well, Mr. Pence is back in the news, and not for good reason. Of all the people Donald Trump could have picked. And I hope if the Trump-Pence ticket succeeds and we've got these guys being sworn in January, I hope Donald has the power to tell Mr. Pence, you're the vice president. You're only going to be president if something happens to me. In the meantime, sit down and shut up. After Monday's debate, Mike Pence, Donald Trump's vice president, came forward to talk about climate change. God. He went against everything Trump said and said that climate control is man-made and a serious concern. Mike Pence believes that we must follow the science to move forward. Climate change has always been a topic that is frequently talked about. It's also one of those topics that people feel very passionate about. You're either going to find someone who supports it or who's against it, and there isn't the twix in betweens. Well, this is true with Mike Pence. More on this when we get back. Phones are open, by the way, 800-313-9443. Isn't it great that the 800 number's back up? And we have 30,000 minutes a month to use without being charged? God, I'm in heaven.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3. Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Mike's in there laughing because I'm drumming to Jerry Rafferty's song here. 30 days has September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31 except February. I know that. M-I-S-S-I-P-P-I. Mark in Florida. Hello, Mark.
Hello, John, and thank you for taking the call.
Yes, sir.
I was just trying to think of, where was I when that song came out?
I was in my headier days. I was working for Western Electric, dating, and took a vacation to the Cayman Islands to go learn how to dive.
What year was it?
That had to have been 1979.
I was almost graduating. One more year.
Graduating high school?
Yeah.
All right, young man, what can I do for you?
You're talking about the courts. Well, the rebelmadman.com, he has a blog, Battered State Syndrome, and he states, the majority of people in this country today, especially cops and judges, believe that our central government has the ultimate sovereignty and that nothing can undo its will.
Mm-hmm.
They refer often to the point to Article 4, Section 2 of our Constitution as a basis to confirm their belief, which is a supremacy clause. So especially cops and judges believe that our central government has the ultimate sovereignty and nothing can undo its will.
Well, and
somehow,
go ahead.
The question is what its will is whatever they do.
They're
like brushing it off.
In this legislative,
where do you get license to?
In this, look, Mark, let's just make this easy. In this legislative democracy and the mindset of that, whatever, when somebody comes up with a good idea, let's convince our fellow seat warmers, our Congress critters in Washington, D.C., and it can become law. And if you don't like that, well, take it to the Supreme Court and then have them rule on it incorrectly as well. You know, and this was very simple before. If it wasn't delegated, those rights for the government in the Constitution, then you just didn't do it. This was Ron Paul. This is what I admired about Ron Paul so much, you know, being known as Dr. No on the Hill, that unless he could find it in the Constitution for any bill that was being considered, he wouldn't vote for it.
But the others did.
Well, of course.
And it's nothing, but when the prosecutor approaches you or the cop approaches you or some agency approaches you and says you have to give us this or we'll take your stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is all that's happening. I'm not getting mugged by people walking on the street and kicking in my door unless they turn off the food supply and people start rioting. But the only thing that might come after me is a government agent.
That's right.
And somehow he got this idea that he clocks in and does this to me. And they just pass it on down the line. Nobody reads anything until you start getting, until you get to like the top dog, the attorney general, and you notice them in a letter. Then you stop getting mail from them for some reason. But they believe that they own us and they control us. And they pay guys to do it.
Well, I mean, look. They have their agencies. The guys got the shiny badges. They have been portrayed as we are the law and we have dominion and we're taking over. And you can be of assistance to us in matters that concern the Fed within your own state borders. And that's the new law of the land. Now, forget these administrative assets for a moment, if we can. This is what they do. I mean... This whole thing with the government coming out now against the sovereign citizens, and you notice, in order to demonize that, let's throw in a few people using AKs shooting at cops or whatever the case may be, that we have 300,000 sovereign citizens, according to the FBI, would much rather just shoot cops on the street than even look at them or converse with them. And that's what that whole narrative was about. You've got to demonize the people that are saying, wait a minute, there's a reason why that 10th Amendment is in there. There's a reason why you can't color outside the lines. There's a reason why the Constitution is the law of the land, and they're not hearing any of this. Mark, I've walked into many courtrooms and had defendants try to defend themselves on a constitutional basis, and I've heard a judge one time admonish the defendant by saying, look, I took constitutional classes. I know what the Constitution is, and that doesn't apply here. You're charged with such and such statute, whatever. And it's like, wait a minute. Your statutory, your codified law, if it runs afoul of the Constitution, or specifically my rights, guess what? You don't get to play that way. But I've seen people locked up in mental institutions for insisting they defend themselves on a constitutional basis. I have seen them locked up in nut houses.
But every one of those people that have participated in locking him up have taken an oath to the serve, protect, and defend the Constitution.
But see, we're not, these guys, the state and federal legislators and people that work in these agencies, they're not reminded that, hey, look, here is the law of the land. You can't step outside of that. It's about giving more and more control and power to the Fed. This is why they flipped it after the Civil War to centralize the power, and we've seen the end result of it, plus a few other little touches in there that gave them more intrusive power into the states.
Well, there's so I'm learning so much history by looking into things like this, that you go back and you got to get to reading the convention floor of 1787 or something. I mean, you just got to go back and read everything, and the debates to what the debates to the Constitution and what form of government we have are so flawed in the background that's why we don't have.
Well, when you say so flawed in the background, what are you talking about?
Well, there was so much disagreement, and things went through anyway. The Articles of Confederation required a state could veto anything Congress and the United States assembled did.
Under the 10th Amendment.
I forget what it was, but it was under the Articles of Confederation.
Okay. Well, eventually it boiled down to the 10th Amendment.
The
10th Amendment, Mark, and states' rights. Sovereign states, of which, after the Civil War, they wiped out.
Oh, yeah, before that, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it was. Well, this was just topic of conversation.
It was a process.
Well, of course
it's a secretive process.
Well, of course it's a process. I mean, to deconstruct a constitutional republic, my friend, takes time. And they've been working on it now for a couple hundred years. Anything else?
No, thank you. But you're on the ball with the judges.
All right. I appreciate
it. For bringing it up.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate your call. By the way, to finish this out before I take my next call here, talking about Mike Pence and his climate change stance, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump's vice president pick, Mr. Pence, for those of us who that watched the debate on Monday, we know what Trump's stance is. So you would assume that Pence would be toting the same flag and spreading their concepts on how to progress forward, right? Well, that's not what happened. Pence came out Tuesday and said, "There's no question that human activity affects the climate." Back in 2012, Trump posted his views on climate control all over Twitter. One of his posts said, "Concept of global warming was created by and for the Chinese in order to make the U.S. manufacturing non-competitive." Well, I don't think it's just not China. It's the globalist, and they need power to control. Although he did later come out and say that he was kidding. Yeah, he did it again in 2014, also on Twitter, with a comment about how climate control is a hoax. His post said, "Snowing in Texas and Louisiana, record-setting freezing temperatures throughout the country and beyond, global warming is an expensive hoax." Pence, alone on CNN, said, "Let's follow the science." And what Donald Trump said was a hoax is that bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. can control the climate of the earth. There's no question that the activities that take place in this country and in countries around the world have some impact on the environment and some impact on the climate. Now, it may seem as though there is some rocky ground between the presidential candidate and his vice president-elect. Well, as I said, Mr. Trump, when they get sworn in, Mr. Trump has to sit Mr. Pence down and tell him just to be vice president. Sit there and shut up. I'm president, you're vice president. The reason why there's a vice president, in case something happens to me, and we'll see if anything does. Joel in Phoenix. Hello, Joel.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking the call.
Mm-hmm.
Down here in Phoenix, we had a lot of sovereigns. And we used to get into long discussions concerning how to deal with the courts. And there was one side, we've got to go in and do something. And then the other side said, well, if you push too far, you're going to end up in jail. Well, the side that said if you push too far actually won out the argument, because we have like about, I guess, about five sovereigns over the last 10 years that were sent to the state penitentiary. And this was over, three of them were over the income tax, and two of them were over driver's licenses. And so it's, in principle, they are correct according to the Constitution. But the man behind that's in that black robe says, I'm the authority, and that's it. And that's the unfortunate thing and the state that we're in.
And he controls the clowns of the court, the prosecutor, the defense attorney, and as we've seen, the juries themselves. He will instruct them as to what the law is.
Exactly.
And I have seen just the opposite take place in a lot of trials where the jury goes, wait a minute here. The jury has a certain set of parameters and rights as well, Your Honor, and we're going to follow those. Thank you for your advice as to what the law is, but the jury has the ability to look that judge square in the eye and go, you know what, we don't agree with that law, and we refuse to condemn or prosecute or find guilty under that law. That is the prerogative of that jury.
Exactly, and this connects directly to what when you had Sheriff Mack on there, because I was at many of Sheriff Mack's meeting when we were deciding whether to not go up to Bunker Hill, and then after that whether to go up to Oregon. And Richard had good points to make, particularly on Oregon, because he said Oregon was not the same thing. And if you'd push too far, there's somebody that's going to get hurt, and somebody's going to go to jail. And what we have on the surface, what I found out in talking with people that went up to Bunker Hill, people that were head of militias, particularly one who was a retired ex-Special Forces person, and he told me a story that was really, it was an eye-opener. And what had happened was, is that in this one particular militia group, which was mostly made up of retirees that were ex-Special Forces, they went in on the reverse side of the hills up there and took out the overwatch, made an arrest, put them in nylon cuffs, took them down off the mountain. And what happened was, is that one of the militia guys realized he was looking down in the gully. And he said, you know what? That's a kill zone in an ambush. And then he went and got the bright idea. You know, I want to talk to the Sheriff Swat's team, which was just down the road. And he went down there and he said, you guys have got to go down there and break this up before somebody gets hurt. And he says, don't worry, Amon will get his cattle back, but there is going to be something that's going to come down. And then it hit him what the whole thing was about. And it's a reverse Waco. In other words, somebody was going to start the shooting, and all those guys down there in that kill zone, in that gully, were going to die. And we later found out that the drones went over, infiltrators went in and took license plates down, took names, and what they were going to do was they were going to say, see, these sovereign militiamen are evil. And lo and behold, 65 warrants went out on the Oregon incident. So what we see on the surface here is not always necessarily so, and you have to be very careful when you push up against the man.
Well, I have no doubt that there were Fed infiltrators in that group that were there from day one, advising and giving information to the state boys and to the federal boys. I have absolutely no doubt about that.
What happened was, is that one deputy, and this militia guy told me he ran as fast as he could when he realized it was a setup. And the guys down in the gully, because he ended up down in the gully, realized that they were going to be fodder. They got one deputy to go up and say, I'm taking charge here. The sheriff's office has jurisdiction. You guys need to leave. And they did. That one deputy saved the day. One deputy saved the day.
Do me a favor, Joel. Hang on 1 second. I've got to take this break. Steve and Chris and others, hold on. Don't go anywhere. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Governor DeSantis is officially in the presidential race. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. DeSantis used to be a pretty cookie-cutter Republican. Since the Wuhan flu pandemic, he seems to have leaned pretty hard into the MAGA conservative camp. I don't know if he actually grew up to be a conservative or if he's just acting like one for political gain. But either way, I have a couple of suggestions for him. Embrace your youth. We the people are tired of octogenarian politicians. If you want to have any chance of winning the primaries, you're going to have to win over a significant number of Trump supporters. And one way might be to promise when you're elected, you'll pardon Trump and put an end to the years of tax-funded investigations. And if you have become more conservative over time, admit that. Make a public statement about your beliefs when you were in the House and how they've changed. I'm not leaning toward any candidate yet. I want all of the candidates to fight for the nomination. And I want the best candidate to win. And if you own firearms, get the most affordable carry insurance on the market and save another 10% by using code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com. Find more commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. And until next time, Sivas Pashem, Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Joel, there's a reason why the militias in this country went underground. And,
oh, yeah.
And what we're talking about here is part of the reason. Now, yeah. we knew back in the 90s that the feds had infiltrated every group. I mean the groups in and around Battle Creek, Michigan, every once in a while I'd go to their meetings, and I could walk into a room with 75 people sitting in it, and I could pick out the feds. And what I used to do when I'd go to these meetings, I would plop myself down on a table right across from them, and I'd just sit there and watch them. I'd listen to their conversations. Caught one of these asshats one day trying to convince somebody, you know, here's an easy, inexpensive way to build bombs. And I walked over to this table, and I looked at this guy, and I says, and what agency do you work for? And he looked at me, and then he looked at the person he was talking to, and he looked around the room. He was out of there within minutes. So the problem with Malheur is it started off as a good idea. It started off as a good idea, and the Bundys were there, so that kind of legitimized it. You know, here's the guys who are being picked on by the BLM and the federal government and threatened all sorts of ways. But, you know, the Bundys themselves, I mean, hell, they went to jail. They got out. They were trying to send them back. This whole thing, at the core of this, is the issue of whose land is this and whose jurisdiction are we under, state or federal? This has been the big question mark that they have avoided for 50 years.
Well, I'll tell you, Sheriff, I kind of held back about Richard. He actually begged a bunch of people not to go because he said, Oregon is a setup and they're waiting for you.
Well, I'm just wondering what groups out there, when the second American Restoration Project starts, how many people they're going to be telling, you know, you got to stay out of this one?
That's the thing, John. These guys have just absolutely infiltrated everything. To give you an example, one of the guys that was in our militia group ended up in another militia group called the Vipers.
Yeah, I remember it.
Remember?
Oh, yes.
Now, the feds, after they interrogated, made the arrest and things like that, they went to all of them and said, if you'll sign this, which means that you have accepted responsibility and yada, yada, and that you promise not to, we'll let you go. One of the guy, and he says, if you don't, you're all going to jail for 5 years. One of the guys who was in my militia group that went over to the Vipers, and to tell you the truth, John, the guys over in the Vipers were dumb.
Oh, I know they were. I've spoken to them.
They spent too long out in the desert, and their brains were baked.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't listen to reason. And they were very stiff-necked.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, see,
one guy.
And Joel, we're running out of time here. I will just add this. That, yeah, you can be stiff-necked, but understand something. That the lump-and-dump categories that you're put in, any group or any militia from any state is going to reflect on the activities of the others. This is why we've always said you stay away from any conversations of bombs or government destruction of property or anything else. You stay the hell away from it. You don't load the ammunition into the breech to allow them to shoot you with it. And by and large, that worked, except, as you pointed out, Joel, by some individuals. I've got to go. Thank you very much for your call. Second hour coming up.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can't.